இன்றைக்கு நாமாச்சாரிய ஸ்ரீலரி தாஸ் டாகூர்க்கு தாய் கௌர பிரேமானந்தே. ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு தி அசெம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு தி அசெம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு தி அசெம்பிள் டிவோட்டீஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் ஸ்ரீ குருவன் ஸ்ரீ கௌரங்க. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமாம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதீம் வியாசாம் ததோ ஜாயமுதீரே நஷ்டப்ராயேஷு அபத்ரேஷோ நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவதே உத்தமா ஸ்லோகே பக்தேர் பவதி நைஷ்டகீ. Reading from Canto 10, Chapter 11, Text Number 33, Chapter entitled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. Gopya Rudaratha Nutna Kucha Kumkuma Kantaya Krishna Leela Jagho Pritya நிக்ஷகண்ட்யா சுவாசஸ. கோப்யருடா ரதானோத்னா குசாகுங்கும காந்தயஹ கிருஷ்ணலீலா ஜகோப்ரித்யா நிஷ்கந்த்யா சுவாசஸ. கோப்யருடாரதானுத்னா குசாகுங்குமகாந்தயஹ கிருஷ்ணலீலா ஜகோப்ரித்யா நிஷ்கந்த்யா சுவாசஸ. குச்சுங்குமகாந்தயஹ கிருஷ்ணலீலா ஜகோப்ரித்யா கண்ட்யா நிஷ்ககண்ட்யா சுவாசஸ. குச்சுங்குமகாந்தயா கிருஷ்ணலீலா ஜகோப்ரித்யா நிஷ்ககண்ட்யா சுவாசஸ. மாதாஜி, கோப்யருடாரதானுத்னா குச்சுங்குமகாந்தயா
There's a mistake there. Pen.
Gopya Gopya, all the coward women, Rudarataha, while riding on the bullock carts, Nutna Kucha Kumkuma Kantayaha, their bodies, especially their breasts, were decorated with fresh kumkum. Krishna Leela, the pastimes of Krishna. Jagu, they chanted. Pritya, with great pleasure. Nishkakantyaha, decorated with lockets on their necks. Suvasasaha, very well dressed. Translation: the cowherd women riding on the bullock carts were dressed very nicely with excellent garments, and their bodies, especially their breasts, were covered with fresh kumkum powder. As they rode, they began to chant with great pleasure the pastimes of Krishna. It's no proper to go to the next verse. Tatha Yashoda Rohinya Ekam Shakatam Astite Rejatu Krishna Ramabhyam Tatkatha Shravanotsuke. Translation: thus hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Balram with great pleasure, Mother Yashoda and Rohini Devi, so as not to be separated from Krishna and Balram for even a moment, got up with them on one bullock cart. In this situation, they all looked very beautiful. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It appears that Mother Yashoda and Rohini could not be separated from Krishna and Balram even for a moment. They used to pass their time either by taking care of Krishna and Balram or by chanting about their pastimes. Thus, Mother Yashoda and Rohini looked very beautiful. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padar Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishvano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Vasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. गोप्य रूढ़ा रथा नूतन कुच कंकुम कांतय कृष्ण लीला जगोप्रीत्य निष्क कंथ्य सुवासस तथा यशोदा रोहिण्याव एकम शकटम आस्तिते रेजतो कृष्ण रामाभ्यम तत्कथा शवनोत्सुके. द कवर्ड मेन राइडिंग ऑन द बुलक कार्ट्स वर ड्रेस्ड वेरी नाइसली विथ एक्सलेंट गार्मेंट्स एंड दर बॉडीज एस्पेशली द ब्रेस्ट वर डेकोरेटेड विथ फ्रेश कुंकुम पाउडर. As they rode, they began to chant with great pleasure the pastimes of Krishna. Thus, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great pleasure, Mother Yashoda and Rohini Devi, so as not to be separated from Krishna and Balaram for even a moment, got up with them on one bullock cart. In this situation, they all looked very beautiful. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing with this particular episode of Krishna along with all the cowherd boys, the residents of Gokul proceeding towards Vrindavan on the insistence of Upananda. That's the supreme abode, Sri Vrindavan Dham. And this particular verse in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very important statement as to how Krishna's mother and Balaram's mother, Rohini and Yashoda, Yashoda and Rohini, they also get onto the same cart so as not to be separated from them. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions that Yashoda and Rohini, they would either pass their time either by taking care of Krishna Balaram or by chanting about their pastimes. And thus, they looked very beautiful. So, what actually makes someone beautiful is by this, by just thinking about the glories of the Lord, hearing about the wonderful leelas, meditating on it. That's what makes someone very beautiful. Here in this material world, everyone wants to look beautiful, right? That's why you find that the cosmetic industry is flourishing so much. Otherwise, there's no need for a cosmetic industry to flourish. The concept of looking beautiful is becoming more and more prominent now. When I passed out about 25 years back as a dentist, you know, this cosmetic dentist was not so much common. Now, everyone who passes out, first they put a board that specialist in cosmetic dentistry. They first put a board. Even their fresh graduates also, they put that board. That, you know, special attention to cosmetic dentistry. Because everyone wants to look beautiful. They want to have a beautiful smile. So the industry is cashing on that particular aspect. So when the word cosmetics added, the prices skyrocket actually. No. What would cost X amount will cost 10 times because the word cosmetics added to it. And people go mad to do anything for it. I shall remember one famous actress. She just put a stone on one of her teeth, a sparkling stone, you know, and seeing that everyone went crazy, they also wanted to put a stone on their teeth, and that would cost thousands of rupees. Just why? So that when they smile, the teeth should sparkle. Some famous actress had a particular tooth which is slightly tilted, that added to her beauty. So everyone wanted to have the teeth, even though they're straight, they wanted to have that little tilted, so that they can imitate that particular personality. And that's what is happening here, and people are cashing on it also. Because people want it, and there are, you know, doctors who are ready to give that. That's how the whole cosmetic industry is
going on. Like everyone wants to dress very nicely. Who doesn't want to dress very nicely? But the idea of the fact is that I would just like to share something that, you know, when sometimes people dress very nicely, go to the marriage, no offenses to anyone, but I'm just saying that, you know, when somebody goes for a marriage, dresses very nicely, and they look into the mirror and see themselves very beautiful, but when they go to the functions like this, nobody even looks at them. You know, they think that everyone is looking at them, but everyone is looking at themselves only. So nobody is looking at others. If at all somebody is looking at others, only out of envy. That's all. You know, but nobody looks at somebody else and glorifies. But everyone wants, everyone is like, you know, centered, self-centered. They want to look at only themselves, that how I am beautiful. Even though somebody may be a, you know, not so apparently looking beautiful, but thinks that he or she is very beautiful. Like, just in my dispensary, of course, this is not the one which I made. I just took over from some other person before. But then there is a glass, which is a double-sided glass. Outside is a mirror, and from inside is a glass. So when somebody from outside comes, it's like a mirror. But then from inside, it's a glass, plain glass. So the person who had made this, you know, clinic had made it like that, just to... So I would see, whoever passes by that has to stop. And then just want to see, you know, whether my hair is proper or not. You know, and then you can see how they are, because from inside you don't, they cannot see you because it's a mirror from outside. But inside you can see, you know, they just look here, they look that, you know. And they want to see whether they are okay or not. They are busy walking, but as soon as they see the mirror, they stop. They look at the mirror and then they go away. You know, that's the thing. The mirror is the one which attracts. So if there is no mirror, then you don't. Like just 2 days back, I was in the Brahmacharya Ashram. And I wanted to put tilaks. I was asking, where is the mirror? There is no mirror anywhere. So you just have to look at a marble somewhere and then try to figure out how the thing is, you know. But the point here is that when everyone wants to dress nicely, to look beautiful, and there are so many designs. The more the number of designs, the more you get confused actually. Which to buy? You get so much disturb whether you want to buy this brand or that brand. Like I have one patient who doesn't wear a dress more than 2 times, and he spends about 1,000 or 2,000 rupees for one shirt, because the moment he wears 1 or 2 days, there's something else comes in the market, then he wants to buy that and he's ready to spend for it. So it may be the case with so many others also who would like to spend so much just so that they can dress very nicely. And that industry, cloth industry, is also, you know, bent on that. They just bring about more and more, you know, different designs so that they can attract hairstyles. You know, just recently one boy who was, you may have seen him since the time he was only 2 years old. Now he's about 25 years old, 26 years old now. And he is supposed to go to America to get his pilot license. So he had a particular type of hairstyle. So I asked him, you know, like, have you grown your hair? But no, this is my hairstyle. And he had such long hair, but somewhat very odd. You know, I said, what is this? He said, this is the latest fashion. And after a week, I see him, he has changed his hairstyle. And what is the hairstyle? Something like, you know, little bit of hair here, little bit of hair here, you know, like that. So someone would think that he has forgotten to shave, but it's not like that. You know, the little bit of hair, little bit of hair here. And I said, what is this? He says, this is a different hairstyle now. And you are ready to spend. I said, how much you are spending for it? I just casually asked him. He said, the earlier one where I went, it was 3,000 rupees. This is only cheaper. This is 2,000 rupees, you know, for a hairstyle. Now, this is what happens. Our dear friend and a devotee, Sukhdev Prabhu, who is skin specialist, and he puts, you know, his job is to put hair on bald heads, you know, those people who don't have hair on their head, his job is to put hair. And he says the doctors charge 3 lakh rupees just to put hair on top. you know, somebody who is bald, for them to get hair on top, you know, they spend 3 lakh rupees. So I said, do they pay? He says, I am busy putting hair everywhere. He says, my profession, Gaurang Prabhu's profession are different. He says, Gaurang Prabhu's profession is to remove hair and my job is to put hair. So he was saying that he was putting hair. He says, demand is there, so they put. You know, and people want to look nice. People want to look, you know, very beautiful. And they're ready to pay anything for it. Somebody old, 60-year-old man, he wants to have a good set of teeth. And they want fixed teeth, so there are implants. Implants cost a lot. Each implant costs about 25,000 rupees. So somebody who has to get a full set of dentures, fixed thing made, has to spend about 3 lakh to 4 lakh rupees. Now people have money to spend, people are spending for this. Why? Because everyone wants to look beautiful. External beauty. Now this is what is the effect of the Western civilization or the modern civilization, where people think that this is what is going to make them happy, this is what is going to make them look very beautiful in the eyes of others. They have high standards of living. People's capacity to buy is there. Nowadays a couple who passes out from the university, you know, gets not less than 5-figure salary, which probably, you know, our father or someone further, it may be a lifelong savings probably. So they don't know how to spend. And there are so many modern gadgets coming. People change, you know, mobiles at a drop of a hat. You buy one, after 15 days, after 1 month, you buy something else. In the earlier times, somebody would have a car and would have the same car for the next 15 years or 20 years. But now you have one car, you just change it to somebody else, something else. Because so many cars are there, so sometimes you become confused and you think that, no, I want that, I want this, I want this. So you sell one, you take another one, you sell one, you take another one. Somebody wants to, you know, live in a very nice, comfortable building. So your standards of living increase, you want to stay in a very high-rise building. Prabhupada mentioned once when he was passing through a city in Auckland in 1970, Shrutu Kirti Prabhu mentions, you know, there is a park there, it was saying that children's fairyland, and Prabhupada looks at the skyscrapers and points out his stick and says, this is adults fairyland. You know, Prabhupada, this is adults fairyland. Big skyscrapers. But the irony of the fact is that with all the standards of living, one finds that there is no time to spend with the family, there is no time to spend with each other, there is no relationship developed amongst each other. That's what happens. Because people are there working, but then when you see, there is no relationship. You may be staying in a very high-rise building, but you may not know who your neighbor is also. The neighbor is not there. You don't know who the neighbor is. Probably you have not met the neighbor also. It's like that. Then what happens? You see the land being exploited. There is pollution of land, pollution of air, pollution of water. These are all the effects of civilization, modern civilization. There has to be somewhere where these things have to happen. Lots of cars means so much of pollution. Air pollution, this sewage, water pollution, land pollution, land is being exploited, mountains are being torn down, huge mountains are being brought down, you know, and said that, you know, there are more shops of clothes, shoes and gadgets than of groceries. You know, the grocery shops are becoming lesser and lesser, but you find that everywhere the advertisements are only of clothes or nice shoes or gadgets, the modern gadgets. That's the irony of the fact. And Srila Prabhupada mentions a very important statement. He said, modern civilization, it squeezes out the vital energy of human life. all this, whatever you see, you know, the real aim of human civilization is missed out, and it squeezes out that vital energy of human civilization. So he says, Prabhupada mentions that if you have sufficient grains, fruits, vegetables and herbs, where is the use of slaughterhouses? We think that, like, you know, with the advance of modern civilization, everything looks beautiful. But where can you get to see a land which is beautiful? Prabhupada mentions that land is considered very beautiful when you see the land in its greenery. There are rivers flowing, there are mountains around, lakes around, the seas and oceans. This actually enhances the beauty of the land. But then nobody is able to see that also. In fact, now the irony of the fact is that wherever there are parks which are there in the city, these parks are not fit for children to play at all. Even the park here, you know, said that children are not allowed to play. If you just walk into the garden, you are not supposed to play with your football or any other games. You cannot play there. You can just walk maybe peacefully. That too also if you are allowed to, otherwise no. So the parks are made, but you are not allowed to play. So where is the place for people to play also? There is nothing, no opportunity for anyone to, you know, just completely open out and just be with the nature. You know, Srila Prabhupada mentions very important point that the human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. So when you are talking about prosperity of human civilization, it flourishes only by natural gifts which are given by the Lord and not all these industries. He says that industries, gigantic industries, they only produce godless civilization, the products of godless civilization, and then causes destruction of noble aims of human life. Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports, he mentions that the natural gifts given by God in form of grains, vegetables, you know, they are actually produced in abundance. But because of a selfish attitude of ours, you know, try to exploit Mother Earth, so we don't get this. He says that otherwise, this abundance of all this supply, he says the mountains provide minerals, the seas provide pearls and gems, and the earth gives lots of grains and vegetables. But unfortunately, because of the godless civilization, we are deprived of all these things. He said that if human civilization has sufficient grains, minerals and jewels, water, why hanker for terrible industrial enterprise at the cost of labor of some unfortunate men? So Srila Prabhupada is trying to bring home this point that how this modern civilization makes us go away and away from the natural resources. As just few days back, Gaur Gopal Prabhu was mentioning that you ask a child, where does the milk come from? This is milk come from the dairy. He doesn't know where the milk is coming from, because they're not seeing, you know, how the milk is coming, what is to be done to get the milk. So similarly, you find that, you know, we are ignorant about so many things in life. We are thinking only about water. Now there's water scarcity. You know, people don't know. They don't know the value of water, from where the water is, how much effort is there to, you know, to harvest water. But then sometimes, because of ignorance, we just use water indiscriminately. Why? Because so many people, and they don't have any knowledge about, you know, where the water resource is. But then naturally, if you see that, you know, you find a river is flowing around, people get this water actually if you go and stay near the riverside. And Prabhupada mentions the rivers, they actually, you know, fertilize the crops, and the crops give us grains. And Prabhupada says, can we have nuts and bolts for our food? We need to have only grains to eat. Ultimately, when we have to sit and eat, we have to eat grains only. We can't have nuts and bolts for all this. His Grace Gaurang Prabhu, just want to share, when we were in what is that place? Narari Prabhu's place is what?
What is that place?
Hyderabad some place. I don't remember that place. But then when Gaurambu went there for the inauguration of the Brahmachari Ashram, he was mentioning a very nice incident that where he met one Muslim person who is an agriculturist in Gujarat. And he has a huge nursery with him. And he is the one who has provided so much of nursery to the government. And this person, it seems he made experiment. He had some 1 acre of land and he told his relative that whatever you want, you do over there. You can eat meat, you can, have intoxication, whatever that you do in the field, and you can grow your, sugar cane. And the other place, the same 1 acre, he said, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, nothing, no illicit affairs going to take place over there. And nice music was played. And then he said that from the place where there was all the illicit activities going on, it could produce say, maybe, 1 ton of sugar cane. But here it was 10 times to 20 times more sugar cane was produced on this side. Where, there was no such illicit activities going on and nice music was played. And then he had one realization that if you want the earth to flourish, you have to give them that proper type of environment. And then he has made about 100 acres of land it seems, and he has made it very strict. He has CCTVs kept all over in this field because a lot of people come there to see. And he has made sure to see that nobody engages any illicit affairs in that area. In the sense, sometimes boys, girls come, in the bushes, they may do something. So, even to the extent that he also doesn't sleep in that area. And that particular area is heavily guarded to see that nothing, abnormal, nothing illicit affairs take place over there. And he was, it seems, telling Gaurang Prabhu that you tell me how many times you are offering obeisances to Mother Earth in a day. He said, no, not even once. Maybe when I am offering pranam to the Lord in the temple or to Srila Prabhupada. He said he offers 100 times obeisances to Mother Earth. It's because Mother Earth gives so much. He says, I offer my obeisance to Mother Earth hundreds of times as a matter of expression of my gratitude to Mother Earth. Because it produces, gives us so much of, produce for all of us. So he says that someone who is not even a follower of the proper Vedic culture, he also understands that how we should take care of Mother Earth, And that's the thing. So the irony of the fact is that we have gone so much away from the Vedic civilization that we have actually spoiled and made it appear dirty. So land in its natural beauty is never manifested for all of us. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice quote from Chanakya Niti, Chanakya Shastra. He says, Prithvi Bhushanam Raja, Narinam Bhushanam Pati. Prithvi Bhushanam Raja, Narinam Bhushanam Pati. He says that the one what makes the land very beautiful is a very able king and administrator who sees to it that everyone abides by the laws of nature, everyone follows strictly according to the prescribed duties. So then because of which the land produces its produce in abundance. That's what Prithu Maharaj did. When Prithu Maharaj started ruling Mother Earth, before that, because of the treatises of King Vena, Mother Earth was not producing enough food, enough grains. But Prithu Maharaj, when he started ruling, he realized that Mother Earth is still not producing. And he decided to punish Mother Earth. Mother Earth took the form of a cow and came in front of Prithu and begged forgiveness. And then Mother Earth, was chastised by Prithu. Why did you do that? And because of the able administration of Prithu, Mother Earth started producing grains vegetables in abundance. So Prithi Bhushanam Raja, so very able administrator, that land becomes more beautiful when an able administrator is there who rules that kingdom. Narinam Bhushanam Pati, a lady may outwardly look very beautiful, but till she is having a very protective husband, that beauty is just an external beauty. That's all. In other words, people are just going to exploit. That's all, nothing else. So the beauty of a lady is that when she has a husband. Narinam Bhushanam Pati. And Sharvari Bhushanam Chandra. A sky looks very beautiful, but then sky will be more beautiful when it's decorated with moons and stars. And Vidya Sarvasya Bhushanam. And somebody who has knowledge, even though he may be ugly, but then if he has knowledge, then he is beautiful. So Srila Prabhupada, to end up with this, he was mentioning that similarly, one has Krishna in life, then he becomes more beautiful. You know, that beauty is enhanced. You know, if one has Krishna in one's life. So Srila Prabhupada later on mentions that whatever one acquires in his life, material acquisitions are all like zeros. They have no value. Because ultimately at the time of death, all these acquisitions are going to go away with your with you. That's all. It has no value. Whatever acquisitions, like I was just discussing just a few days back with one of the devotees, that you know, we all are after acquisitions and acquisitions, acquisitions in this world. Somebody has 3 houses, I also want to have 3 houses. Somebody has a particular type of a car, I also want to have a particular type of car. But little realizing that whether do I really need that, first of all. And at what cost? At what cost? Our life is trickling away. We come into 40s, 50s, and after a few years we are going to leave this world. And then where is this land going to be going? Are we going to carry that with us? We will not be able to carry that anywhere. But then still we work so hard to acquire. It's that, you know, the 99 coin story. You have 99, you want to struggle and get one. You just struggle, you want to get one. So similarly, you have excess money, then you want to get some more. You want to acquire more, you want to acquire more, you want to acquire more. Ultimately, the realization of the devotee was speaking to me, said that I am also in that rut and I know that my life is now ticking away, but still I am after that acquisition. But at what cost? But ultimately, when the death stares in front of you, you have to leave that world and all these things are going to be left behind. You can't take them with you. So all the acquisitions here like are the zeros. And Srila Prabhupada says, but you put that one Krishna in front, then all these have values. You know, with the 10 zeros, then the value increases. So whatever you have, that value increases, you know. That's the way Srila Prabhupada mentions, in fact. In fact, it's said that, you know, whatever you see, the beauty here, is just by the grace of the Lord. So nothing will appear beautiful if it is not by the grace. We have these small flowers which are used for decorating our deities. You know, I just asked the name from Prem Krishna, they call it gypsum. They're very small white flowers, you know. The flowers in itself, if they are lying on the side, they don't look beautiful at all. But then when they are on the head of the Lord, and when they are around, then they look very beautiful. The Lord is beautiful only. But those flowers, you know, they look very beautiful. Sometimes we explain, we say, how this, you know, flowers are looking so nice. The Lord is always beautiful. But then when these are decorated, when they are on the Lord's body, then these flowers, which apparently otherwise don't have any value, but when they are connected to the Lord, then they look very beautiful. That's the thing. Bhagavad Bhakti Himasya జాత శాస్త్రి జప తప అప్రాణస్ ఏవ దేహస్య మండనం లోకరంజనం. వెరీ వెరీ నైస్ వర్స్, వన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫస్ట్ వర్సెస్ విచ్ ఐ లర్న్డ్ అండ్ వెరీ ఫిగరేటివ్ అండ్ వెరీ వెరీ ఇన్స్ట్రక్టివ్. భగవద్భక్తి హీనస్య జాత శాస్త్రి జప తప అప్రాణస్ ఏవ దేహస్య మండనం లోకరంజనం. You know, it's something like decorations of a dead body. It says, whatever acquisitions you have, whatever social prestige you have in this world, whatever advancements you make in this world, they are all but decorations on a dead body. If it is minus Krishna, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya. And very, very nice, because it said that, like, you know, suppose somebody's left his body, is dead, and he has to be taken to the crematorium. Now he may look very nice, he may be appearing very smiling also, and he may decorate his body very nicely, but then what is the use of that? He may put a nice tie and a coat to look that he looks very handsome, but then ultimately he is going to go to the crematorium and his body is going to be burnt or body is going to be buried. So they are like decorations on a dead body. So elsewhere it's mentioned that if you have no Krishna in your life, then you are like walking dead bodies basically. But ultimately there's no goal of life, there's no aim, and you're performing all the activities with no particular aim in life. You like a dead body. They're like walking dead bodies. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jata Shastra Japa Tapa. So what are austerities, what are the penances that you may do, everything is just completely zero. That's all, nothing else. Minus Krishna, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that sometimes people become miserable and they become very disturbed when there's a lot of rainfall, but they don't realize that this is actually nourishing. Especially nourishes not only us, it nourishes the rivers, nourishes the plants, animals, everything. And through this rains, it also nourishes the earth, which gives us all these grains. He says that the government sometimes restricts agricultural produce because of fear of effect on the market prices. Now this Prabhupada is mentioning about 25 years back. He says that how this happens, because godless civilization, agricultural produce is reduced. Why? Because, you don't get profit. Demand and supply. The more the supply, less the demand. So you want to keep that demand increasing, so you just don't want to wait. In fact, Prabhupada mentions that the government would give money to the farmers for not to grow crops. Sometimes they would throw in tons the vegetables into the seas and oceans, so that demand still remains the same. So he says, that's how it happens. He said, but a God civilization or godless government will provide abundance and happiness for all. So Srila Prabhupada was actually after this particular aspect, that when there is a God conscious government, then that is the only government which will produce happiness to all of us, which is not there at this present moment. So what is actually real beauty? The real beauty is when one carries Krishna within his heart all the time. Like Srila Prabhupada mentioned his purport, how Yashoda and Rohini always would discuss about the pastimes of the Lord, or always be with Krishna and Balram. And that's why they looked very beautiful. So who is having the beauty? One who actually carries Krishna within his heart. One who serves Krishna, one who abides by the laws of God, one who always engages in hearing and chanting, and one who has a proper character. So that person looks very beautiful, and that person is really beautiful. It is a nice saying that if you are beautiful, then it's a gift of God. But if you make your life beautiful, then it's a gift from you to God. If you are beautiful, that's a gift from God, but if you make the life beautiful, then it's a gift from you to God. So ultimately, when you just engage in serving Krishna, hearing about the glories of the Lord, Krishna's duties, serve Krishna's duties, and just live that life of purity, that's when you will look beautiful. Duties actually like that. You know, devotees may be simply dressed. When I talk about dress, what dress the devotees have? Either white or saffron. Like the brahmachari one was mentioning once, that you have no problems. When you go outside for dress, we don't have to be agitated at all, because we know that we have to wear only saffron. One dress. And there cannot be any variety. So there is no question of agitation, actually, if you see from that point of view. But the devotee, when they dress in dhoti and kurta, and mothers, Srila Prabhupada mentions, mothers, when they wear saris, simply dressed, they look very beautiful. You know, devotee, the decorations in the body is what? Srila Prabhupada mentions, tilak, kanti mala, and a bead bag in their hand. They look very attractive. When they have the beads, the tilak and kanti mala in their hands, they look very attractive. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned also once in place, he says, my disciples, when they wear saffron dress with shaved head and having tilak in their hand, they look like people from Vaikuntha. They look very beautiful. They look like people from Vaikuntha. You know, they shave the head. And character. When the devotee has that character of, you know, humility, tolerance, ready to serve others, sacrifice for the benefit of others, these are all the decorations of the devotee. Nothing else will really beautify a devotee than this. And actually they look beautiful. When somebody wears a tilak, when you see somebody wearing a nice tilak, kanti mala with the dress, which is quite clean, simple, you know, that makes a devotee look very attractive. In fact, many times, you know, when people come to temple, they may be wearing all types of, you know, modern dresses, but they always are very eager to wear this dress. You know, when they come in association with devotees, after some time, they are eager to wear. You know, I still remember 25 years back, that concept was not still in our temple. We would just come in our shirt, trouser. And then once, that time the temple president was, his name is Bhakti Rasavid Maharaj. He said, no, we should come with dhoti kurta. So then we were deciding, you know, we were thinking, oh, if you wear, I'll wear. Like that, you know, that's what the discussion would be. On this particular day, we'll all wear. So, and that's what it would be. And we would wear dhoti kurta and come. And slowly now it became a thing that, you know, where naturally when you come to temple, you want to wear that. You want to wear a dhoti, you want to wear kurtas like that. In fact, it's yatras now, you know. Naturally, devotees wear, when for functions, for festivals, devotees go home especially and then wear dhoti kurta and come. You know, that's the way, because makes devotee very attractive, that particular dress. At the same time, it also reminds him about Krishna, reminds others about Krishna also. It's like a preaching. It just gives them, you know, wonderful, like Gaur Goparpu was cracking a wonderful joke just 2 days back for Janmashtami. He said, somebody was asking me, he was shaven-headed, somebody was asking me, why you shave your head? So he gave two reasons. He said, first of all, no dandruff. And secondly, he said, you know, you don't have to spend time to comb your hair. So the boy was not very convinced. He said, no, you still tell me why you wear. He said that if your hair, black hair absorbs light. If you have no hair, it reflects light. So you give light to others. So a very, very, we have, but very symbolic in the sense, you know, when reflect means reflect Krishna, give Krishna to others. When you see someone very nicely dressed, then you actually give Krishna to others also. You look beautiful, you get attracted to that person actually. So, it's said that to the extent we are Krishna conscious, to that extent we become instrument of Krishna's mercy to others. Srila Prabhupada, he is that person who actually carried Krishna within his heart. and went to the West and transformed the hearts of millions, actually. When before Srila Prabhupada, when nobody knew who Krishna is, in fact, the people who paint, you know, Yadurani and others, they never knew actually how to paint also. But now you see their paintings, one would not imagine that they were not aware about who Krishna was earlier. Srila Prabhupada went there, he inspired others just by being with Srila Prabhupada, you know, he gave Krishna to them. He made them take shelter of the Lord, he made them chant, he made them serve, made them surrender. And anybody you would ask would say that they were mesmerized by the form of by Prabhupada. Prabhupada would just have that bodily luster, radiate Krishna's, you know, mercy to others. And we find that so many beautiful faces emerge because of Srila Prabhupada's preaching in the West. So many beautiful faces emerged. So many beautiful Vaishnavas who came up. Not only that, so many beautiful temples with beautiful deities. Nowhere in the world you'll find deities dressed so beautifully as the temples where Srila Prabhupada that's in ISKCON. You come to a temple, you find the temple very clean, you find the deities very dressed very beautifully, decorated very wonderfully. You know? Somebody just looks at them, like, you know, you see the Darshan book, one big book has come up. Just flip the pages and you'll see every place the deities are so wonderfully decorated. Sometimes you don't know where those flowers are there also. You know, you don't see those flowers also. And those flowers you can see on the head of the Lord. So many wonderful decorations that you see. So many beautiful deities, the wind, beautiful kirtans, the beautiful festivals, the Rath Yatras, everything becomes beautiful. And that was Srila Prabhupada's great contribution to all of us, that went to the West, gave this, exhibited Krishna's beauty and gave this beauty to all of us. Made everything beautiful for all of us, for us to enjoy, in fact. In fact, I just want to end with one particular incident, just a recent incident, that there's one patient of mine who is a very old patient, but I met him after almost about 3 years. The moment he sat on the chair, he just said that I had gone to a temple in Juhu. He never mentioned to me any time before like that, but he said, I went to the temple in Juhu. I said, how did you go there? He said, my friend, my old college mate, who is in America, I helped her to get a room in Juhu because she is a life member. And she very generously, she booked 3 days for me to stay in that Juhu temple. So I stayed in Juhu temple for 3 days, he mentioned. So I said, how did you find the Juhu temple? He says, very nice doctor. He says, wonderful. He says, the deities were excellent. Prasadam was very good. And everything was wonderful, the rooms were excellent. And then he said, you know what, I bought the book of Srila Prabhupada. He said, I bought that book, abridged version of this. So I said, did you read it? He said, doctor, I read it completely. I said, I read the whole thing completely. I said, so what did you realize by that? He said, I am trying to wonder that how this person at the age of 70 went to the West and preached this Krishna consciousness and inspired so many people to take to this process. That really amazed me, he said. I said, my goodness, if you have realized it, that means I should also realize that. That if you have realized it, you know, he says, at the age of 70, I am wondering how is this that at the age of 70 this person went to the West, and that made me go on reading. What is it? What did you do afterwards? What did you do afterwards? What did you do afterwards? And then ultimately I finished the book. And he said, I am going to read it again, he said. I am going to read it again. He said, whenever I get time in my office, he's a chartered accountant basically. He said, whenever I get time, I will read it again. He was saying. Now I just try to, you know, think about myself that this person who had no connection to Prabhupada directly otherwise, he just went to Juhu temple. He saw the temple. He got attracted to the deities. He saw the wonderful temple environment. He just bought a book and he just read it. Prabhupada came in his life, and then he started appreciating the wonderful contribution that Srila Prabhupada has made, you know, which I think this is real, actual real beauty. So Prabhupada is inspiring so many lives, so many persons' lives through his books, through the Vaishnavas, the devotees, the temples, wonderful deities, you know. If only we can realize that and make or probably be serious about our own, you know, what we do. So ultimately, just one thing that I actually have understood from this particular verse is that I would like to just, you know, become more serious about it and dive into the deep subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam and understand what contribution that Srila Prabhupada has made for all of us, how much austerities that he has performed, how much sacrifice that he has made, just so that it can be made available to all of us. So only with the reciprocation to just take shelter of this Srimad Bhagavatam and become eligible to stand in front of the Lord. So the Lord can see and bestow his mercy. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you for your patient listening.